Good evening, everybody. Welcome to an episode of Living Loud Outdoors. On the mic with you tonight. Still kind of mobile, sort of. I'm actually not mobile. I'm on my headset, sitting in my easy chair with my feet up, trying to ice pack my knee and work my way through all this mess. And wanted to just share a word with you tonight that I really love this. God has been kind of stirring this in me, and he put this message in me, and I'm excited. This is actually a really cool message, and I think that someone out here tonight needs to really catch this. Titled it Road to Nowhere. You ever been on a road to nowhere? I mean, I often talk about being in the middle of nowhere, right? I mean, we use that phrase a lot. But check out, I want you to check out this story. During his earthly ministry, Jesus told his disciples that he would be crucified and rise again. So after both of these events happened, he told them, "Go tell the world about me." And that's what he tells us. Go tell the world about me. That's the Great Commission. We're to go into all the world, preach the gospel. We're to go into all the world and tell the story of Jesus Christ. So they did. Well, here we are in Acts chapter 9. Philip is an evangelist. And he's in Samaria, and it's in the middle of everything Jesus has promised, right? He is literally living and breathing in the very stuff that Jesus has talked about. All of Jesus' promises. He's walking right in the middle of it. He's seeing miracles. The church is growing. Jews and Gentiles alike are coming into God's kingdom left and right. Everything is happening just as Jesus promised. And then suddenly God tells Philip, "Go walk down this road from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert place. And it's a while before anything else happens. So here he is, living and breathing out the very things that Jesus has talked about, and then all of a sudden God tells him, "Hey, I want you to go down this road to from Jerusalem and go all the way to Gaza." And in the midst of this desert, nothing is happening. So I'm kind of a visual person. I like picturing things as I read. And every time I read this story, I think, how long was Philip walking, just going nowhere? How long was he out in the middle of nowhere? I've been in moments like that. And it's moments where I felt like, hey, we're the good guys. We're doing the things that we're supposed to do, and we're telling people about Jesus. And then now I feel like I'm in the middle of nowhere. What in the world am I doing out here in this spiritual desert? Did Philip have time to feel sorry for himself? I felt sorry for myself. You ever felt sorry for yourself when you find yourself out here in the middle of nowhere? We don't really have all those details because the Bible doesn't give us specifics about what was going through Philip's mind. But you have to wonder, right? I mean, he'd been right in the thick of it. He'd been right smack in the middle of everything Jesus had talked about. And now all of a sudden, he's in the middle of nowhere. He's in a desert place. He's even in a spiritual desert. But then, when we're in the middle of a trial like this, maybe we begin to search out some things. Maybe we begin to manipulate things, create things, scheme, try to work our way out of that situation. I've often talked about the fact that I often try to help God. God doesn't need our help. And this is kind of what we're talking about here is we find ourselves in these places and we try to figure out how to get out of them on our own. So if we read the story of Philip on the desert road, we learn that he was, or as he was walking, he spots a chariot up ahead, right? So we're going to go to Acts chapter 8. This is verse 26 through 40. And in Acts chapter 8, 26 to 40, and it says, "But an angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go south to the road that runs from Jerusalem down to Gaza." This is a desert road. So he got up and he went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a man of great authority, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Then the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." So Philip ran up and heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man said, "Well, how would I understand unless someone guides me correctly?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, this was the passage of Scripture which he was reading. "Like a sheep, he was led to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." The eunuch replied to Philip, "Please tell me, about whom does the prophet Isaiah say this? About himself, or is he talking about someone else?" So then Philip spoke, and beginning with this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. You understand what I'm saying? Then Philip spoke, and beginning with this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. He went into all the world here, and he preached the story of Jesus Christ to him, explaining that he is the promised Messiah and the source of salvation. As they continued along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch asked or exclaimed, "Look, water, what forbids me from being baptized?" Philip said to him, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he replied, "I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered that the chariot be stopped, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. I love this part. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip and carried him away to a different place. And the eunuch was no longer saw him, but he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the good news of salvation to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Philip was just taken away. It's like a Star Trek thing going on, right? He was transported to somewhere else. How incredibly powerful is that, that the Bible records such a thing? Philip never would have seen the chariot had he stayed in Samaria in the middle of all the action. There's some importance you need to understand here. See, oftentimes we cry out to God, we gripe, we complain, because God moves us from something cool going on, and he puts us out here in this desert place. But if it hadn't been for the fact that Philip was out there in the desert place, that he had been obedient to the movement of God, the Spirit of God, he would have missed this entire opportunity. And you think, well, it was just one guy, right? No, listen to what happens here. Philip's obedience led to the salvation of an important member of the Ethiopian queen's court, who then takes the gospel to the entire continent of Africa. So it went from just being one guy to who knows how many thousands hear the message of Jesus Christ because of what Philip did in obedience of leaving the action and going out into the desert, not having any idea what he was going to encounter. It's difficult for us to grasp this picture. The whole thing seems weird, right? It doesn't make a lick of sense to our modern sensibilities unless you're right where God wants you to be. When you're on the road God has marked out for you, it ultimately will make sense. If not for you, well, then at least for God's kingdom. It might not have made sense to Philip at the time, but look at what it did for God's kingdom. Obedience, simply listening for the Spirit of the Lord to speak to us. Man, we've been talking a lot about this lately. And the obedience, the just simple obedience to say, "Yes, Lord, here am I, send me. Do with me what you will. Place me where you want me to be. Put your word in me. Let me tell your story. Put somebody in front of me to listen to your story." Philip's obedience. I think of this when I see this story. I think of when I was in the revival movement years ago, when I literally just kind of sold out to the Lord, and God was pouring out. The revival had broke out in Brownsville Assembly, Pensacola, Florida, and it was spreading across the nation. And God was doing crazy things, and the Spirit of God, the manifestation of the Spirit of God, was so strong. And we were right in the thick of it. We were right in the midst of it. We were seeing the miraculous. I experienced things in the midst of this revival movement, the move of God in my own life, that were incredible. My eyes saw many, many, many things that were virtually unexplainable in the natural. They were simply spiritual in happenings going on all around me. But in the process of all of that, God moved me. See, he kept telling me through all of that time, don't get hung up on these manifestations. There's more. Go deeper. There's more of me. Go deeper. There's more than just the manifestation. Go deeper. And I, maybe at the time I didn't understand that. But I went from this movement, and God moved our family to Durango, Colorado. Took a youth pastor's position. I was excited. Right? I mean, it was an exciting adventure, but he took us from this movement, and in a sense, he put us in the midst of a desert. It was a difficult time, but it was a learning time. It was a growing time. God poured into me in that time in Durango. We ministered to many people. We gained friendships. We saw lives changed. And then he moved us down to the actual desert into Farmington, New Mexico. And again, through the difficulties of being so far away from all that we knew and all of what we thought, God still used us in incredible ways. We saw incredible things happen in our time when we were in New Mexico. And then he allowed us to come home. God continues to move. He continues to pour out. Why? Because I'm constantly in doing the best I can to be obedient to him. It's in the midst of my obedience to him that he pours out his spirit through me. And it's not that I'm anybody special. I'm obviously not anybody special. I'm just an obedient servant. And that's what he's looking for from each one of us. We are to become obedient to him, listening to him, so that he can send us out to literally catch the world on fire. Look at what he did with Philip. He took Philip from a movement and he put him in the desert. And then just through the interaction with one individual, it took the Spirit of God, it took the message of God, it took the story of Jesus Christ to an entire continent. Wow. What is he doing in you? What could he do in you if you would simply allow him to? Whew. What a message, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for supporting us financially, for walking with us, for journeying with us on this adventure. May God continue to bless you. May God continue to pour out over you. May God continue to draw you out into wherever it is that He wants you to be. May your heart be obedient. May your eyes see what He's looking to give you. May your ear be attentive to His still small voice. Let God use you. Be obedient. Seek Him in all that you do and watch what He can do through you. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. We're praying for you. Continue to pray for us. Continue to cover us in your prayers. Support us financially if you can. All of our giving links are on our website, www.livinglightoutdoors.com. We love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you again real soon.